Welcome to Soul to Soul Wellness with Kay Vlachos. I'm your host, Kay, and I'm here to inspire you to live a more meaningful life filled with love, laughter, and lots of adventures. I've been a mindset and well-being coach now for nearly a decade. I help soul sisters worldwide embrace their inner wisdom and trust in their intuitive guidance to navigate their way through life. These soulful conversations are brought to you today by our partner, S2S Floors. S2S Floors pride themselves on delivering a high quality floor finish Australia-wide. S2S Floors understand the importance of creating luxury and durability in your home and are well known for providing a professional floor finish for your commercial premise as well. Check them out today for all your flooring needs at s2sfloors.com.au.
Hello, my name is Kay Vlachos from Soul to Soul Wellness, and I have the beautiful opportunity to speak with my friends Sally and Hartnell from Reflect Divorce Coaching today. Thank you for joining me, Sally Ann.
Thanks for having me. It's great to be here.
You're welcome. I'm excited to speak to you, but in the time between when we organised to chat to each other and now, you're located in Melbourne. So The current situation regarding COVID for you has shifted to a new level. And so I wanted to check in and see how are you going with the new restrictions that have been put in place.
Yeah, thanks for checking in. It's a really strange time to be in Melbourne. It feels, I know for me, for my kids, for their dad, and for the community more widely, including Melbourne-based clients of mine, it just feels really uncertain. It's a bit like the ground underneath us keeps shaking and shifting. So it's a bit hard to gain traction and just be really grounded. But yeah, we're working through it.
So can I ask, in your home, how are you supporting yourself and how are you supporting your children during this time?
We're lucky in that we have enough spaces that we can each have an independent private space to work. My kids are in online classes and their school has pretty strict rules around them being present and being present on video for their entire class. So as I said, we've each got a space. The structures that we've set up have rolled on from the previous experience of being in online classes and me working from home. But last time it was a little bit more fluid. This time I found my youngest is 16. In fact, he turned 16 today. So we found that he struggled a little bit just to be engaged in that online space. So we've put a little bit more structure around how I support him through his work. We're going to have a bi-weekly check-in about homework and work due, and not only what's due but when he's going to do it. So just a little bit more planning. My daughter is in year 12. She's 18 and she's really good at being independently organised. And then there's the physical activity stuff. So she and I have started home-based workouts together, and I've left Elliot, my son. He's decided he's going to be lazy for the next few days, but as of next week he's going to kick in and join us or go for a run. So we have a little bit more structure in our days because we've got 5 more weeks of it.
I love that you are ensuring that there's balance as well with your schedule. I think that's really, really wonderful, because I know a lot of people struggle with the idea that you're going to be at home for a long period of time. So anyone that's watching this or listening to this, if you are struggling and you are in the same situation as Sally Ann, there's some little gold nuggets in there that she just shared with us. So maybe use something if it resonates with you. So
the other thing that came up, the other thing that came up actually with a client this morning who is also Melbourne-based with 3 teenagers, 17, 14 and 12, she was trying really hard to put in some really strict structures and guidelines around it. And as we worked through a coaching session together, she decided that one day a week she was just going to let go, no structure. So it's almost the opposite to me. I was a bit loose and now I've brought the structure back in. She was trying to hold on too tightly, and particularly her eldest was not, rebelling, I suppose. So she's just like, okay, one day a week, this is going to, it's going to be no rules, basically, or mm-hmm. much less structure to just allow him that space to do it his way. So I thought that was interesting too.
It is. And do you think it's really important to, even though we may have in our mind as parents what we think is going to be a positive solution for what's going on, do you think it's really important too that we check in with our children and see how they're responding to our ideas?
Absolutely. And I've been guilty of it, and I know this particular client was also guilty of it.
Me
I think
too.
Many of us, yeah. I know you have been too, Kate. Of overlaying our wants and our needs and our desire to control the situation or to allow the situation to play out in a certain way, it doesn't always support all of our children equally. Some may like that structure, others may not need it. Some may really need that social interaction that I find really important, and I know you find really important, Kate. Others, you know, much happier in their own space and their own company. So yeah, I think it's really important to have conversations with your kids about how they're going and what they need. And that's what happened with Elliot and I. He came to me and said, I'm really not looking forward to going back into online classes again. And we just talked through what had worked and what hadn't worked and what he'd found most challenging about the last time. And we developed that framework or that structure together. I suggested a couple of things. He agreed on some, disagreed on others. So we just built it up together. And I think it's really important to acknowledge that our children may not need what we think they need.
Yeah, and I think it's really important to be listening to what they have to say when they're expressing themselves to us, especially in their teenage years, where they're forming their own identities and opinions, and sometimes the way they may express it may be very forthright. But if we take that energy out of it and just listen to their words and take, you know, meet them halfway, I think that we would come out of this situation in a much better light than if we force them to do what we think they need to do.
Guilty.
me too at times. But I actually like it when my kids call me up on my stuff, because I deem them my soul teachers. And when they do call me out and just say, hey, I really don't agree with you, I do take a step backward and try and pause and step and think about it. And I'm much better at doing that now. I was far more reactive, I think, back when they were a bit younger. So I think for all of us, it's a work in progress.
Oh, absolutely. My 18-year-old, Eva, called me out yesterday and said, I was on tone of voice, and it was a conversation with her dad, right? So he's the divorce coach being coached by her daughter. And she's right. I was really quite short with him. I was in the middle of something else, and it was a conversation that we've had many times previously, so I was reactive. She called me out on it, said we need, particularly in this next few weeks when we're all, you know, we're all stuck and restricted in what we can do and how we can spend our time, we just need to be a little more mindful and a little more present, Mum. I was like, yes, you're absolutely right. So they are our soul teachers, and I love it when what I've guided her to learn is reflected back at me. It's like she just held up that big fat mirror at me. I'm like, okay.
Isn't it wonderful though? I bet you she was using it in the way that you would phrase it. So it probably felt like you were speaking to yourself,
speaking to myself,
through your daughter.
Yeah, and I had to step back and not react to her, or not react to myself in her, but just to be mindful and present and react with kindness and gratitude.
I love that. I wanted to share with everyone that we have actually had the opportunity to chat earlier in March when we all went into lockdown on IGTV Live, and I really enjoyed our chat, and so I really wanted to invite you back on so that we could create a permanent place for people to come to meet you, and especially people who are currently going through divorce or living in a divorced home with blended families. There are lots of different variations of divorce. And so I just feel that it's really important to talk about this, especially now with the extra complex situation that we are all experiencing. So I wanted to start by asking you, can you share with us what you do in your divorce coaching practice and who you help?
Sure. So I work with predominantly but not exclusively women at all stages of separation divorce journey. And by divorce, I don't necessarily mean the legal that my clients needed to be legally married and then stepping out. It's a relationship transition, whether it's a marriage and divorce or just a separation. So I work with clients at all stages, right from I'm thinking about separating to we've just separated and I don't know what the next step is, to being in the thick of the financial property and childcare arrangements and agreements and negotiations, and also with clients at the tail end of their divorce or negotiation where they can actually put their head up sort of almost out of the trench and look around and think, okay, what's next? So it's that whole range. What do I do? I work in two different ways. One is just a one-off strategy session, and the other way I work is in a coaching series of six sessions over 3-4 months. And the main thing that I do is encourage my clients to look to the end point. So really define the end goal thereafter, their best case scenario separation, their best life, and really encourage them to look way into the future, as in 5, 10, 15, 20 years, and then step back to where they are, define where they are and what needs to happen to get them from where they are to where they want to be. So what they need to plan with regard to work, finance, career, living arrangements, parenting, single parenting, co-parenting, how they're going to communicate with their or how they're communicating with their ex and how that's going to look as they move forward. So it's all of the, I work with my clients in all of the non-legal aspects of a separation or divorce to support them to create their best outcome.
What an amazing support network you are because often with a lot of my friends, myself, that I've seen walk through this process, you can often feel very alone in the process, especially if your friends aren't going through that same experience. So to have someone like yourself be able to step you through and I think most importantly exude hope, that there's hope when you're asking them to look at their vision moving forward, like that's wonderful, because most people seem to get stuck in the now and stuck in every little thing that is happening right when it comes to divorce, especially when there are children involved. There's a lot of emotion. So how do you help separate the emotion, because that's important to navigate, as well as the practical steps that you need to take, such as moving homes or shifting children from home to home with the right amount of clothes, books, school bags, all that sort of stuff. Yes. How do you help them through that?
Well, I think primarily and you touched on it when you were speaking just now, it's a really overwhelming time and there are so many elements to think about. So sometimes simply being clear on what needs to be done or steps and processes and systems that you can put in place for each of those areas of your life, that can actually help that will help clients feel more in control, and therefore they automatically become less reactive. But I do work a lot around reactivity and triggers and healing the wounds, so that you are, one is not as reactive, particularly to your ex-partner, and also just separate out the parenting and the co-parenting relationship from the relationship that was. So it's a real line in the sand. You are no longer emotionally romantically connected or intimate. You're not intimate partners, but you're still co-parents. So finding ways to separate those two relationships, let go of the intimate partner relationship, but really rebuild that parenting, co-parenting, collaborative relationship more as a business-like relationship where the conversations are strictly about the children, they're not emotional, we take all the shoulds, woulds, nevers out of it, even to the point sometimes where clients might choose to, there are many apps that clients use to communicate. So if it is really emotionally reactive and volatile for a short period of time, sometimes clients will choose to use a co-parenting app, so the communication is just all contained within that app. So if going back to your original question, we split it out into that's the relationship that was, it no longer exists, but you still have a parenting relationship. How are we going to redefine that? What do you need to let go of? What do you need to heal? What are your triggers? What are your co-parents' triggers? How can we keep the conversation strictly about the children without poking those old wounds or triggering each other?
And for those, like, it's a grieving process, isn't it, when you are moving from one chapter of your life to another, and when you're having to say goodbye to a way of living that has to now evolve into a new way of living. Do you also offer support when it comes to the healing aspect? Because for some people, they just tuck it away and get on with what needs to be done and then deal with that later. Once everything, you know, the kids are okay and they can breathe, then they may tune into their feelings and look into themselves. And then for others, they actually are grieving at the same time as they're navigating their way through this situation. So is that something that you can help with them as well?
Yes, I can. And my style of coaching is very much client-led. So if a client is not willing or not able or not willing at that point to do the healing, they just need the practical support, I won't ignore the emotions underneath. I'll guide and nudge and gently coax them to address those emotional issues. But as you said, sometimes a client navigating a divorce, particularly if it's volatile or high conflict, they just need to get through that stuff before they can take a breath, and then they're ready to do their healing. Other clients are healing as they go, and they need to do certain elements of healing before they can take the next step. So they might need to learn to be more self-loving and set really firm boundaries before they can actually objectively negotiate, say, a financial settlement. So it's really dependent on the client and where they're at. And as their coach, I'll meet them where they're at, lead them, guide them forward. And as they step forward, I find that they're more open to healing, even if they're in that that first category that I spoke of.
Yeah, that's really insightful that you're pointing out that the healing might need to come first before the next step. That's really awesome. And I know too, because you have walked through this firsthand and you are still navigating this, you're able to talk from your own experience, and I'm sure that gives your clients so much support and faith in you, because that you can completely empathize with the situation that they're dealing with.
Yeah, I think that it's a lot to, my story is a lot of why I do what I do. And I do share personal and personal experiences, and I think it's really helpful and useful for my clients to see what is possible. In fact, as I said, I think I said earlier that it's my youngest son's birthday tonight, and given that we're in stage 4 restrictions in Melbourne, I will take my kids to their dad's, and we had planned to have dinner together, but there's an 8 p.m. curfew, which means I would need to leave their house at 7:30 to be back. So we've decided as a family, like I asked Elliot, my son, what he wanted, we've decided as a family that I'll stay the night. So we'll have dinner together, I'll stay the night there, I'll get up in the morning and come home. So those types of stories do offer hope to my clients who are just in the overwhelm of, you know, what is our life going to look like? Is it going to be like divorce story and all terrible, or are there other alternatives? So our story does offer, our family story of divorce and co-parenting afterwards offers another alternative. Doesn't have to be really bad.
And I love it. And did you 10 years ago think that, you know, when you were going through this, did you think that that could be possible? Like, is that a vision you held for yourself?
I held the vision that I wanted to be able to stand next to my ex-husband and share significant events in the lives of our kids. And that's why I looked for the divorce that I looked for. And that's why I've ended up doing what I do, because this support didn't exist back then. So I don't think that I perhaps would have envisaged that I would be spending the night at his house on my son's birthday, or that we would have a holiday together in Europe as we did in January of this year.
I love that.
Yeah, our daughter was on a French exchange program, and I had decided that I would go and pick her up, meet her in France, bring her home, and my ex-husband Michael decided then that he would take our youngest for a couple of weeks, and we all met, the four of us met together in Paris for I think 5 nights, and navigated it very well. 5 nights was quite enough, and I'm sure that Michael would say the same, and the kids both said, oh, we were nervous, but you did really well. So did I envisage 10 years ago that that would be something that we would do? No, but I'm really, really proud of the four of us, but particularly of Mike and I, that we've managed to do it.
I'm proud of you too.
Thanks.
I think there's some wonderful points that you're bringing up about holding a vision but just taking the baby steps, moving forward. I know even in the work that I do, I talk about just taking the next step in front of you, just taking action, because when we take action, a whole lot of new opportunities can open up that we don't even envisage are possible before we take that next step. So, you know, even with regards to being overwhelmed by what's going on, what came to mind when you were talking about was prioritizing.
Yeah.
So knowing that you have a huge list, and if it's all too much, just choose one thing. Just choose that one thing, action that, and then see how you feel. Or even if that's all too much, then perhaps you need to just sit, have a cuppa. And because if it's too much to prioritize, often that's a sign that there's a lot of anxious thoughts or non-helpful thoughts floating around in your mind. And sometimes just having a break and stepping back can also open up new ideas, for new ideas to come through, which is really awesome.
Yeah, two things spring to mind when you say that. I am really big with my clients on them prioritizing themselves.
Yay.
Yeah. And there is no, I don't think there's a more important time than a life crisis or a really big challenge in your life. There's no more important time than that to prioritize yourself and your own well-being and your own self-care, especially if you've got kids. You have to do it. It's the old oxygen mask analogy. If you don't look after yourself, then you can't look after anybody else. And when you're navigating a divorce, a property, financial settlement, childcare arrangements there are big decisions that are going to have a really long-term impact on you all. So to be able to make those decisions objectively, clearly, calmly, and make the choices that best support you and your kids and your new version of your family long term, you need to look after yourself first. Can't stress it more.
And I think that is so important, even if it just means making sure you get a good night's sleep. or making, you know, waking up a little bit earlier than your kids and just having your me time, especially if you have really little kids, or just grabbing those snippets of opportunities to do something for yourself, even if it's just standing outside barefoot on the grass for a couple of minutes. There are a lot of ways that we can bring self-care into our world, and hopefully over time you can build on that because there's no, you can't do too much self-love.
Yeah, I love that.
There's never too much self-love.
Yeah.
So, and the more you fill yourself, I love that you talk about the oxygen mask, because the more you fill yourself up, the more you have to give, and the more you have to give in a way that you want to present yourself to your family, the kind of mother you want to be, or father you want to be, or best friend you want to be, all starts from how you feel about yourself. So I love that you brought up that point. I think that will be valid for everybody that's listening to this call and watching our chat. So I really wanted to talk to you about the importance of mindset when we are transitioning through these times. So do you have any tips that you can share with us around mindset?
I love that you've asked this, because
mindset
is becoming more and more and more important in my work with my clients. And also in my own life, you know, I find the more I work with clients on mindset, the more I'm challenged to work on my own, which is interesting in itself. I see two main categories of categories of mindset in divorce, and one is the fight mindset, and the other that I encourage my clients to adopt is the journey mindset. So if you're stuck in a fight mindset, it comes from a space of scarcity. There's not enough. You know, I have to hang on to everything, be it money or control or being right. And it's actually quite a destructive mindset. It doesn't lead to resolution. And I find clients who get stuck in that mindset are unable to move forward until they shift their mindset. So I encourage my clients to adopt a journey mindset, in that divorce is just part of your journey. It doesn't define you. And if you want a more win-win collaborative outcome, you need to just go on the journey rather than trying to hold on to everything and maintain control and, I win, you lose. I do a lot of work with client, or I encourage my clients to do their own work on their mindset.
That's awesome. I like how you compare the fight mindset to the journey mindset. That's a really, really easy way to kind of take yourself out of the situation and observe how your actions and where they fit into which scenario. I too wanted to touch on intuition and how important it is to trust your gut feeling too when you're navigating through this process. So do you have any little nuggets that you want to share with us around trusting your gut?
As I said at the start of the call, I work mainly with women, but not always, and I find, not exclusively, I should say, but I do find that my female clients are more likely to tune into their intuition. It's becoming more a part of the way I work. I might not call it that in the beginning, but for example, the client that I was working with this morning was really, she had all her own answers, really, and I was just the mirror reflecting back at her, and I indicated to her that I thought if she just stopped and felt in her body whether that was right or wrong, she would know. She said, "Oh, I know in my head it's right." I'm like, "Okay, just pause and drop down into your body and tell me where do you feel it in your body?" She's like, "Yeah, I feel it in my gut." I'm like, "Good, yeah, that's called intuition." I don't think I said that, but you know, so it's not something that I overtly use with a client with every client, it depends on about meeting them where they're at. But it's definitely something that I use personally, and I think then it just flows through my work so people feel it and accept it. For a lot of women stepping out of a long-term relationship, there's a lot about self-belief and trusting that their decisions are right. So that ties back into both mindset and intuition. So I'm often working with clients around trusting themselves, telling themselves that they're not wrong. And I feel that both of those elements, as I said, mindset and intuition kind of combine in there, leading a woman to, or a client to, a really deep sense of self-trust and self-belief.
And I think the real power comes when we have walked the journey, because in order to trust our intuition, we feel the feeling or whatever it is that we're feeling, and then we have to take action around that feeling. And it's not till we take action that we then get proof that our intuition was right.
Yeah, and our intuition, it's retrospective. Yeah, it's retrospective, but it builds on itself, that gathering of evidence to support your own.
That's right. And the more we do it, it's like building a muscle. The more we use it, the more we trust it. It does require us to step out of our comfort zone a lot of the time. But the more confidence we have, the more proof we have. And even with some of my clients, I will encourage them to write it down. Like each time something happens where you know that you made that decision from a place of trust, write it down, and then you gradually have a list, like proof, that is in front of your face every time you're feeling you're not feeling confident. You know, you can grab that out and have a look and go, oh, these are all the individual times that I did trust my intuition, and look what happened.
Yeah.
So sometimes that's a really nice way to just gather tangible evidence.
I'm going to borrow that. I'm going to apply that with my clients. Thank you.
Yeah. I think my coaching and healing practice is very much about helping to empower my clients. It's not I say you do, and I can tell that you're the same. It's really about just helping people to come back to themselves, and knowing that it's all in here. It's all in here. So we kind of just holding the space, aren't we?
Yeah,
holding the container.
I'm doing exactly the same thing. You know, I'm holding a container. I'm offering a loose framework, but a lot of the work my clients are doing is about building that self-trust and building that self-belief and gathering that evidence of making decisions, taking action, and looking back and saying, yeah, yep, that was the right decision and that worked out for me. So just building that basis, that base evidence, to empower and raise their self-belief. So I think we do the same thing. We just do it in different group of women.
Yeah, and just, you know, and maybe different language, and that's the awesome thing about coaching is, you know, you find someone that speaks your lingo and connect with them. It really doesn't matter how, or, you know, we're both doing healing work and, you know, we're just doing it in different ways, and I think that's really, really wonderful. So what is happening for you now in your business with divorce coaching? Is there anything you wanted to share with us about resources that you may have available? I know you did a masterclass recently.
Yeah, did a masterclass.
If anyone's listening that wants to find out more about you, where can they go?
Instagram, at Reflect Coaching. Oh, golly, isn't that terrible? Instagram handles, just let's put it, will we put it in the notes?
Yes.
Instagram, just search up Reflect Divorce Coaching or my name, Sally Ann Hartnell. And there are lots of links in my bio to resources and tips. I am developing a new masterclass, and having just verbalized that means I'm going to have to put a date on it, doesn't it? I'll get to that. Yeah, there's also, I'm also on Facebook, Reflect Coaching, and I have a private Facebook group for my previous masterclasses, and we'll be welcoming in new members through that. Again, there's a link in my Instagram bio for all of those bits and pieces. If you're in the thick of, if you're at the beginning of your divorce journey, I've also got a free downloadable Divorce Without Disaster guide, which goes into a whole lot of detail about things that you may not have even thought about doing. Really, really comprehensive guide about steps to take, things to think about, stuff to do. And if you're at the tail end, the other end, there's also a Reset and Redesign Your Life workbook that I offer that helps you step through the, okay, we're out, what's next? Where am I going? How do I want my life to look and feel? So, yeah, those resources are available, or just DM me if there's anything else that, you know, you really would like to know.
My second last question is going to be, do you work with people just in Melbourne, or do you work with people across the world? Can people work with you from distance?
Yeah, absolutely. Interestingly, pre-COVID, I worked online anyway, so the restrictions and the lockdown have not affected the way I work with clients. I tend to work mostly with people in Australia, although that's just how it's panned out so far. More than open to working with anybody in any part of the world who really would love that supported journey through their divorce and beyond.
And I wanted to ask you, what are you most proud of in yourself through your divorce journey?
Given that I'm going to spend the evening in my ex-husband's house with our two kids to celebrate our son's 16th birthday, and I'm going to share a meal and a birthday cake with them all and stay overnight, I'm really proud of that. The other thing I'm really proud of is that some people in our wider community, say the kids' school community, don't actually know that we're divorced, because we appear together, we sit together at functions. It was interesting, my new partner came to a function and I did get a few funny looks, because I realised later that they were looking at me thinking, that's all right. So I think that's what I'm really proud of, that Mike and I have navigated our separation and managed to keep our parenting relationship quite different to our what was our marriage and our partner relationship. Doesn't mean that we don't always get it right, you know, hence me snippety snapping at him on the phone yesterday and Eva calling me out. But I'm proud that we can do those things for our kids and even our wider families, you know, we're still connected with each other's wider family. So, yeah.
That's wonderful.
That would be what I'm most proud of.
That's wonderful. And I think it's really important to note too that there's no cookie cutter solution. You know, you can create the new look of your transition in any way that you see fit. Like it's really important not to compare yourself to other families that have gone through, and, you know, why can't we do it the way these people did it? Because I reflect on people that I know in my life, and they all are doing it very differently. You know, I have a friend whose husband lived in Melbourne, and he would fly up and stay with them, and would always stay with them. And I mean, from the children's perspective, isn't that beautiful that you could have a united front in that way? Like, you know, children, if the children are part of the divorce, there's a lot to say around acknowledging their feelings and how they feel around what's happening as well. So, you know, trust your gut and just do it the way it feels right for you.
We all do life differently, and therefore we're all going to do relationship transition differently. As you said, there's no one size fits all cookie cutter, and what works for me and Michael and our kids is not going to work for everybody. I'm not suggesting that it should or it would. It's about, as you said, navigating your own family's way through it to create the new normal. I often talk with my clients about the fact that you're still going to be a family. It's going to look different, it's going to feel different, and it's going to function differently. But if you have children together, you're a family forever and ever. You're bound together. Yes. So let's think about how you can think about and strategize how you can create a family that works for all of you and supports your kids and each of you to reset and redesign a new normal.
And on that note, I think we will wrap up the call, because I think you've said it all, and it's been beautiful. I know you're going to be helping and empowering a lot of people listening to this call who are looking for practical solutions. And I love that we were able to talk about the healing aspect as well, because I think that is pivotal in going through divorce. So thank you so much, Sally-Ann,
for
joining me today. And I will include everything that you've talked about in the show notes so that we can find you easily.
Thank you, my beauty. Have a lovely day. Thanks, everybody. It's been lovely to spend time together.